Today's Shir's Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Hey. We will begin on Daf Mem Hey Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah Hanochrim Hoidim, the Nochrim that worship Hagvarim Vahagvois, the mountains and the valley. Hain, the actual mountains are Matarin, because as the Gemara is going to explain, the mountain, a mountain cannot become an Avodah Zarah, a valley cannot become Avodah Zarah. However, umashaleim, what is put on the mountain, that means different detached items that are now put on top of the mountains, asurim, arosar, because they're considered like anything that's used as an as ornamentation for avodah zarah. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, psilei aleihem tisrafim be'esh leisachmai kesav azav aleihem. And what the Torah is telling us is that nobody should want to take anything which is on the mountain, anything which is on the Avodah Zarah, because anything that's on the Avodah Zarah has the status of Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yosef Glili tells us, the pasuk says, Abed Abed, Abed Ta Abdun, as Kol Mekayim Sosha Avdu Sham Hagoyim Es Alehayim, Alaharim Haram Val Gvois, the Sachas collates Ranon, that the Torah Kedosha tells us to destroy all the places where Avodah Zarah was worshipped. And we learn from here, Eloheim Elohorim, their gods could be on top of their mountains, V'loy Eloheim Eloheim, but the mountains themselves cannot become the Avodah Zarah. Furthermore, we learn, Eloheim Elagvos, their mountains could be, they could be an avodah zarah on their valleys. However, the valleys themselves cannot become avodah zarah. There are two ways of understanding, Tosha says, what is pshat in this Mishnah. One way of understanding is that the mountains themselves can be used for any purpose, because the mountains themselves can never become Avodah Zarah. And therefore, according to this, the Chiddush is not that the mountains and the valleys are not Osir. The Chiddush is that even though the mountains and valleys are not Osir, what is on top of them is Osir. That's one way of understanding. The other way of understanding, which is the way Rabbeinu Tam prefers, is that they do become Avodah Zarah. And therefore, according to this, anything that was brought in the name of Avodah Zarah for the mountain itself would be considered Takruvas Avodah Zarah. Just the mountain itself doesn't become us because of Avodah Zarah. So in other words, the nafkamina between these two pshatim is if somebody brought something in the name of these, for Avodah Zarah to these mountains. According to the first pshat, they don't become Avodah Zarah altogether. According to the other pshat, they do become Avodah Zarah, but even though they become Avodah Zarah, the Torah still says that they're not going to be, even though they do become Avodah Zarah, the Torah says that they themselves cannot become Osir, because as we're going to speak, they were mountains. As the Mishnah itself, that we know that one of the most common Avodah Zarah that's mentioned in the Torah is the Asherah tree. So ask the Mishnah, Neima Asherah, if the Asherah tree, which was made to be an Avodah Zarah, so ask the Mishnah, Neima Asherah Surah, the Torah says, Vashreyem Tigadun. The Torah says that the Pasuk tells us that we have to destroy that Asherah tree. But why? Why do we have to destroy it if they can't become Avodah Zarah, as we're learning? Answers the Mishnah. Neshesh Bem Tfisas Yehudei Adam. There's a fundamental difference, says the Mishnah, between a tree and a mountain. A tree is planted by people. And since a tree is planted by people, that makes it into Avodah Zarah. Whereas, there's human involvement in planting the tree. And the Mishnah tells us that wherever you have human involvement in planting the tree, that's why it's going to be considered kosher by tfisas de adam asur. So Rabbi Yosef clearly explained why the Asherah is not considered like a mountain. But why don't we explain? Then the Pasuk says, V'tachas kol etz ranon, then why don't we explain that the Pasuk to be explained like we explained at the beginning of the Mishnah? And we should say that what's under the mountain is Avodah Zarah, but the actual mountain, what's under the tree is Avodah Zarah, but the actual tree is not Avodah Zarah. So Amar Rekiva, so Rekiva says, Ani Odun Oven V'Odun L'Fanacham. I'm going to explain what you mean. And the way the Miri explains the Mishnah, Oven means that to understand. And from way I will explain now, we will be able to understand all of the halachas. And Tosfos points out that even though Rabbi Yosef Glili was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva is speaking in such a honor, in such a distinguished manner to Rabbi Yosef, because he explains that Rabbi Yosef wasn't just a Talmud, he was actually a Talmud Chover, a Talmud and a colleague. So he says, the Komakum Shat Moitze Hagva of Gva Nos of Eitz Ranan, Dashiash Kom Averz Chovim. This is what we say, Pshat. We don't understand the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Alhaim Alharim, Alhaim Alharim Aram Val Gvois. That Pasuk is coming to teach us an entirely different point. The Pasuk is coming to teach us that wherever you find these types of mountains, you should know that there was an Avodah Zarah. Just like that Shefein, the Torah is telling us that we can't have, that there's no problem of Avodah Zarah. So it's not that we learn from here that the Ashrayim are not Avodah Zarah, but rather it's coming to tell us that this is the place where there was, this is the place that there was Avodah Zarah. There are many questions that are asked in understanding this Mishnah, but one of the most common questions that are asked in understanding the Mishnah is that we know that Avraham Avinu chose Har HaMoriah to be the place where he was going to do the Akedah. And the question is, how could have he done the Akedah and Har HaMoriah if they were all places that were designated for Avodah Zarah? So there are many answers. The Chasam Sofer quotes his Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler, who explained that what happened was that they originally it was a valley. And that's why they weren't able to identify when they went to look to do the Akedah. They weren't really able to identify that mountain because it wasn't a mountain, it was a valley. The reason it wasn't made into a mountain, because the mountain, if it would have been a mountain, would have become an Avodah Zarah like all the other mountains. Only at that point, where Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu saw the mountain, they designated that mountain as the Avodah Zarah, as a place, the mountain grew, so to speak, designated it as a place for the Beis HaMikdash, designated it as the place for our Avodah Hashem, and therefore the halacha is that once a place was designated as a Makom Mikdash, nobody can now make it into nobody can make it into an Avodah Zarah afterwards. And that was shot in the Pasuk where they declared Ochein Yesh Hashem b'Makom Hazeh. What they were declaring at that moment is that now it became a Har, now it became a mountain, and it's being designated at this very moment to be a Har for Hashem. And it's interesting that I saw that the Sefer Chochmas HaMotzpon from the Alter von Slobodka explains that when we say the Hoshanas, one of the Hoshanas that we say during Sukkot on Hoshana Rabbah is Hoshana Evan Shasiya. And in that Hoshana we say Hoshana Gordon Arnon. We know the history was that was the place of the Makom HaMikdash that David HaMelech had bought from Arnon HaYavusi. So why is it so special, he asks, that we should say Hoshana that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us, answer our tefillos because of Arnon. So he explains that, as we've been learning, as we've been saying, there's a question, how could they have used, how could Har Moriah be the Makom HaMikdash? It was the place that if all mountains were used for Avodah Zarah. So Yerushalmi, actually, in answer to this question, says that so did Hashem say. Hashem said, I want this place to be a Makom HaMikdash, recognizing what it was used for previously. But he wants to suggest that this was a place that was watched by generations, that it, since it was known that this is the place where it's going to be the Makom HaMikdash, they deliberately watched this place that it should be kept the Kedusha of a Tahara and not be used as an Avodah Zarah. And Arnon HaYavusi, says the Altifus Lubatka, was designated and had that very special job of watching this place that it should be maintained as a Makom HaMikdash. So therefore, he did his job so properly and watched the Kedusha of this place, that's why it's called Garnon Arnon. The Panim Yofis makes another point. The Panim Yofis says that we know that Yaakov Avinu, when he was traveling, the Pasuk says, V'yikach me'avnei hamokam. So the question again that he asks is, if we're saying that every mountain and the stones on the mountain were all Avodah Zarah, how did Yaakov Avinu take those stones to use them? So he explains that we also know that Rashi points out that on one hand the Pasuk says, V'yikach me'avnei hamokam. He took me'avnei hamokam, and then it says me'evan, only one stone. So the answer that Rashi gives, the famous answer Rashi gives, is that all the avonim joined together to become one evan. So he explains that since these stones went through such a significant change, they became from avnei, from many stones, they became one stone. So even though originally maybe they were designated as an Avodah Zarah, because they went through such a significant change from being Avnei to Evan, that's why he says that they're not considered Avodah Zarah anymore. I saw another pshat, that Pasuk says, Kol makom shata moitzi har gvirya, do dash yeshem Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that wherever there was a the Mishnah says wherever there's a mountain, we should know there's an Avodah Zarah. What is meant with that? We know that what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu particularly dislike about Gaiva, somebody who's arrogant? Da, the Mishnah is teaching us that we should know that Kol Mokoyim, that wherever you find somebody who's a har, who considers himself very better than everyone else, who considers himself greater than everybody else, who has this terrible midah of Gaiva, who has a terrible midah of arrogance, she should know Yeshem Avodah Zarah. That is the first proof that there's an Avodah Zarah in such a place. Ask the Gemara, in understanding the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Haglili Haidatanakama, if we try to understand the Mishnah, there really is no halachic nafkamina between Rabbi Yossi Haglili and Tanakama. They're both saying that mountains and valleys don't become Avodah Zarah. So what is their machloikis? Answers the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Bacham, Amr Ish Lakish, Tzipa Har Kahar Ika Benayu. The machloikis here is, if there's an area, if there's a mountain that is covered, if a mountain was covered with silver or gold or any other material, what will be the status? Tanakam Masovet Tzipa Har Ein Kahar Umitzer. Even though we're learning that the actual mountains don't become Avodah Zarah, that doesn't have any bearing on what's on top of the mountains. And what's on top of the mountains does become Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Sover, and Rabbi Yossi Haglili holds, Tzipa Har Harei Kahar, just like the Avodah Zarah, that just like the mountain doesn't become the Avodah Zarah, so too is whatever is used to cover the mountain not become Avodah Zarah. Tosfos asks a question, that we have a rule throughout Shas, that when we have typically a machloikis and we don't know how to understand the machloikis, So typically throughout Shas, what we learn is that the second Tana is more machmer than the first Tana. Yet our Mishnah was saying, not like that. In our Mishnah, the first Tana, we're explaining, the Tana Kam is holding that Sipri Har Eina Kahar, and even though the mountain doesn't become an Avodah Zarah, the covering of the mountain does become an Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's Asur. And Rabbi Yosef Glili is lenient in that Sipri Har Kahar. So how do we understand the Mishnah? So he says that the number of answers to this question. One answer is that even though we typically have that rule, we only apply that rule when we need to apply the rule. When we have two Tanoim that seem to be saying the exact same thing, and we can't determine who says what, so that's when the Halacha tells us that we say that the first Tana is the more lenient Tana, and the second Tana is the more Machmir Tana. But in our Mishnah, it's quite evident how to learn the Pesukim, so that rule is not the rule that we have to follow. But then he suggests that maybe what happened was that originally they indeed had Rabbi Yosef Kalili's opinion first in the Mishnah, which is the more lenient opinion. And then they had the opinion of the Chacham, which is the more strict, which is the stricter opinion. But we also learned, as we learned our Mishnah, that at the end of the Mishnah had Rabbi Kiva explaining Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion. Rabbi, when he compiled the Mishnayos, wanted the Mishnah to end off with Rabbi Kiva explaining Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion. And since that's the way he wanted the Mishnah to end off, even though normally he should have mentioned Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion, the more lenient opinion first, he deliberately mentioned it second. But Sheshe says, according to this, everybody will agree that the covering of the mountain is not considered the mountain. Now, however, when it comes to planting a tree, there are two ways of planting a tree. One way of planting a tree is to put seeds in the ground, and ultimately, a tree will grow from that. That's called, Elon in our sugya, Elon Shanota Garin. You took seeds and you planted it in the ground. The second way of planting a tree is by taking a branch of an existing tree and then putting it into the ground. And from that, it will develop into a new tree. That's called in our sugya, Elon Shanota Elon. So, and in these two cases, we could have a situation where you planted it, not that it should be an Asherah, and then ultimately it was identified to be used for an Avodah Zarah. Or you could have a situation where it was originally planted for Avodah Zarah. V'hocha, our Tanakhama says that the mountains that are worshipped are Mutar B'Hanah, and what we learn from there is that anything that's similar to mountains and valleys, that's connected to the ground, and it wasn't connected to the ground for Avodah Zarah, does not have the status of Avodah Zarah. And what that means is, will be Elon Shanata L'Bsoif of the Kamifgi. The Machlokes in our Mishnah is going to be around a tree that was put, where we put a seed into the ground, not for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. And then when the tree grew, they worshipped it for Avodah Zarah. Is that tree considered like Harm and Gevoyus? It's not that, and it's Mutar B'Hanah? Or is it not similar to Harm Gevoyus, and it would be Asur Gevoyim? But the Eshera that the Torah speaks about is going to be a tree that was planted originally L'Shem, is a tree that was planted originally L'Shem of Avodah Zarah. Tanakam's opinion is that if you have a tree that you planted it as a seed, and then when it grew, you decide to worship it. Since it's mechuba lekarka, therefore it's not considered an avodah zarah, because according to the Tanakama, as we learned in the Mishnah, in order for something to be considered an avodah zarah, you have to have tefisas yidei ha'adam that It was made by a human for l'shem avodah zarah. Here, where you just planted a seed, it's not considered that you made a seed itself for Avodah Zarah. And moreover, Rashi says that when you have a tree growing out of a seed, when you have a tree growing out of the seed, Rashi says, it's so insignificant. It's such a new the tree and the seed are so disconnected. We can't connect. We can't say the tree is a direct result as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned from the seed. But Yosef Glida's opinion is going to be that if you had an ilan shenotai, that you put a seed into the ground, upsoif avdai, and then you worship it, even though the tree itself is not osur. Because, as we said, if you planted the seed, it doesn't become an avodah zarah just from planting the seed. But after the person, Rachman Tzlan, worshipped the tree, the branches or whatever grows from the tree is going to be avodah zarah. So according to this, the asherah that the Torah HaKadosh speaks about is a tree that you planted the seed l'shem avodah zarah. A tree that was planted l'shem avodah zarah is going to be avodah zarah. A tree that's planted by taking a branch and putting into the ground, and then it grows into a tree, since that's an avodah zarah that was made by humans, because you planted the tree, the branch into the tree, it makes no difference what your intention was. That will be an avodah zarah. The machlokes is regarding what grows. Says the Gemara, where do we take this from? The Rabbi Yosef Glili is machmer in such a situation. Mimai, what drives us to take this strict opinion and understanding of Yosef Glili's opinion? Minik Tani Sefer, because the Mishnah continued telling us, Neimah Asher Esura Neshayesh Betfisus Yadei Adam. And Rabbi Yosef Glili said, a rule, the Kosh Yesh Betfisus Yadei Adam, wherever there's human intervention, it's Osir. The Kosh Yesh Betfisus Adam, what did Rabbi Yosef Glili want to teach us with this, with these words? Lesuyi Mai, to come to teach us, Lav Lesuyi Ilan Shanatoi, to teach us that if you planted a seed in the ground, and then a tree grew from that seed, and then you worship, and then after the tree grew, you designate it as an avodah zarah, whatever grows afterwards is an avodah zarah. Amar Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Vav Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says the Gemara Sover, She'ilat shenotoi ulapsoif avdoi. If you planted a seed and then you worship the tree, it becomes asur. Says the Mar Tanya, because we learned in the Brisa. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Aimer, the Pasuk says, Aleihem Elaharim, and the Pasuk doesn't say, Veloya Harim Aleihem. The Torah speaks about the Avodah Zarah that's on the mountain, but not that the mountain is the Avodah Zarah. And similarly, the Pasuk says, Aleihem Elagvois, the gods which are found in the valleys, Veloy Agvois Aleihem, but not that the valleys themselves become Avodah Zarah. Shemeani, we can understand. Call Eitz Ranan Aleihem, V'loy Eitz Ranan Aleihem. We can learn that the tree itself doesn't become Asur. Tamalayim, the Pasuk says, V'ashreyim Tisrafim Beish, that a tree is unlike a mountain and a valley. That the tree, unlike a mountain and a valley, which as we're learning, can never be an Avodah Zarah, what here it was saying is that the tree can become an avodah zarah. When is that? If you planted a seed and it grew into a tree. Ella asked the Gemara. The pasuk says, "Takas kol eitz ranan." What is that pasuk coming to teach us? If the Torah says, "Vashrefein tishrefim be'esh," and we're learning that pasuk is coming to teach us that the tree that was planted becomes avodah zarah. Takas kol eitz ranan lamali. And says the Gemara, "Hu lecha b'chivu udasa." Come up to teach us what we learned and we discussed extensively. Come up with Shatamaisa Agvayava Giva Nasava Eight Sran and Doshiashamavaskachavim to be able to identify where there is an Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, the Rabbanan, who disagree with Rabbi Yosef Glili, and hold that if you planted a seed and from that seed a tree grew, and then you worship that tree, it's still no different than a mountain. If they will agree, And when you planted the seed, your kavana was that it should be an avodah zarah, that it is an avodah zarah. So ask the Gemara, so now we learned the halacha, that if something was planted to be an avodah zarah, then any tree that was planted to be an avodah zarah is going to be avodah zarah. So ask the Gemara, doesn't Rabbi Yosef Yehuda nami b'ilei l'hachi need the pasuk to teach us this halacha? Says the Gemara, hachnami indeed. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara, El ilan shenotel b'soif avodah minolei, where will he know that if you planted the seed, not for avodah zarah, and then the tree grew, and then you worship the tree, that it has the designation of avodah zarah? Says the Gemara, Nafkalei, he learns from the pasuk Vashreim de Gadeu, that the Torah says that you have to eliminate the tree. Which part do you have to eliminate? As we've been learning throughout our shir, Eze Eichi Gedua, what's the part? Gedua doesn't mean that you have to completely eliminate it. You only have to eliminate the part that grew afterwards. Eze Eichi Gedua Asa, which is the tree that has this halacha, that what comes afterwards you have to eliminate, but not the actual tree. Have the part that was there before it was designated as avodah zarah is mutter. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda used the pasuk of Asherim Tisfim Be'esh to teach us this halacha. Not the pasuk v'loy eitz ranan alehayim. Says the Gemara ilolay nemaka. So how could you say that that's the pasuk from where Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is learning his halacha, when the pasuk of Asherim Tisfim Be'esh was used to teach us this halacha? Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's opinion. Ilolay nemar. What he meant to say was that if the pasuk wouldn't have said Asherim Tisfim Be'esh, we could not learn from the pasuk of Ashreim de Gadeim, because we would have learned the pasuk, we would have only the pasuk of Lerayitz Ranan Aleyim. But now that the pasuk says Vashreim Tisrafun, so the pasuk of Ashreim de Gadeim is sort of contradictory. Tisrafun means it should be completely eliminated. De Gadeim means it should only be partially eliminated. So says the Gemara, this is the way to understand. If the pasuk wouldn't have said Vashreim Tisrafun Be'esh, that the pasuk that says only Gadeim, we would have said that a tree which was planted for avodah zarah has to just have the Gadeim. And the pasuk of Le'etz Ranan Alehayim, we would have used that if it was not planted L'shem avodah zarah, then it doesn't become avodah zarah. But now says the Gemara, Hashta Diksiv, Vashreim Tisrafim Be'ish, Ayatale Vashreim de Gadeim, Ilot Shenitlub Saif Avadai. And therefore we have two psukim. One pasuk is talking about a tree that was planted L'shem Avodah Zarah. A tree that was planted L'shem Avodah Zarah is Tisrafim, has to be completely eliminated. A tree that was not planted for that purpose, only the part that grows after it was made into avodah zarah has to be eliminated. Rabbanan, however, the Rabbanan whose opinion is that a tree that was not planted l'shem avodah zarah, even what grows after it was designated as avodah zarah, doesn't need to be burnt. That means, if the tree was planted l'shem avodah zarah, that's what the pasuk of Ashreim Tisrafun Be'esh teaches us, that since that tree was planted L'shem Avodah Zarah, it has to be completely eliminated. But if the tree was not planted L'shem Avodah Zarah, the opinion of the Rabbanan is that it never becomes an Avodah Zarah. If that's the case, Vashreim Tegadein May Avdalei, what did they do with that pasuk? Answers the Gemara, like Rabbi Shuban Levi. It's coming to teach us a different halacha, what Rabbi Shuban Levi teach us. Rabbi Shuban Levi, the first thing that Klal Yisrael had to do when they get to Eretz Yisrael was to cut down their tree. But not to completely eliminate them, just cut them down somewhat. The Kibbutz Eretz Yisrael, then they went on to conquer the land. And after they went on to conquer the land, they came back to completely eliminate the Avodah Zarah. So the Imri Emes used to quote the Rabbanim Peshischa, who said that in the history of war, Napoleon taught a new strategy. He says, until the time of Napoleon, when somebody went to war, the first thing that they did is that they identified a target, identified a goal, and they would put in all of their energy to accomplish that goal, and then they would go to the next goal. What Napoleon accomplished was that you do your best you can with your first goal, but you don't have to finish that whole goal, because if you're going to concentrate completely on that goal, then you may not be able to move on to the next goal. And that's what happened over here. First, they came. So yes, as we could well understand, that there was a point of eliminating Avodah Zarah. But if they would have just concentrated on completely eliminating the Avodah Zarah, they might not have been able to move forward. And the Torah wants them to move forward. So that's why the Torah says that Tegadeun, just to eliminate it, but not completely, and go on. And that, he said, is the way we're supposed to act in our Avodas Hashem. When it comes to the Avodas Hashem, if we're going to completely work just on one goal, we may never get to another goal. And of course, our goals in Avodas Hashem have to be manifold. And because they have to be so many, we should start, do the best we can, and then move on. The Tani and the Gemara says, a brisa to support what we just learned, says about the Tani Reb Yosef, the Pasuk says, that we should smash their mizbeach, but the Torah doesn't say to completely burn them. Vehine, and then the Pasuk says, v'netatzim es mizbechayim, v'hanach, leave them, but then the Pasuk goes on, v'shibatim es mitzvaseyim, that we go on to break the mitzvahs. Ask the Gemara, but how could it be that we should just smash them? V'hanach salkadatach, is it satisfactory just to smash their mizbechas and just to smash their monuments, not to completely burn them? Sreifa boy, the Torah teaches us that they have to be completely burnt. As the Pasuk says, psile eloheim tisrafim beish. So how is this an acceptable method? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, what the Gemara is teaching us is actually the redoif. First come, do what you can, then run after the enemies, eliminate them, and then afterwards, akach sroif. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, hai svarim anale, from where does Rabbi Yosef Yehuda know this halacha, that we have to completely, that we have to take these steps? First kidua, then kibush, then tisrafun, nafgalei, when he learns it from the word abed ta'abdun, abed v'akach ta'abdun. It's a two-stage process. Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon, what are they going to learn from the Pasuk of abed ta'abdun? And says the Gemara, Hami Ba'ilei, they needed to teach us lo'ikar avodat chavim, when somebody is eliminating avodat zarah, the halacha teaches us is that how is it supposed to be done? Tzarech l'sharish achreah. We have to completely eliminate the avodah zarah. I saw that the Sefer Beis Avram explains that the Gemara says haroitz lak avodah zarah tzarech l'shalish achreah. What if somebody doesn't want that his avodah should be zarah, that his avodah should be unacceptable, what he has to do is tzarech l'sharish achreah. A person has to look at the root of what he does, and what is the root behind what he does. And by determining what are the underlying factors behind what we do, then we will be able to do the right thing. And I saw that the Sefer Pri HaKerem explains this a little better. He says, If somebody, unfortunately, is not feeling well, and he goes to the doctor could indeed deal with the symptoms, and he could see what the symptoms are, and he could do whatever he can to correct that these symptoms should not be there. But that is not the way to heal a person. The way to heal a person, they explain, is to go find the root cause of what's making this person ill. And after we're able to find the root cause of what's making the person ill, then identify it and see what we could do to heal it. And that's what happens over here also. Sometimes we see people who don't behave the way that they don't act the way they're supposed to act. So there's one way of doing what we can do is say to try to behave better. And that's fantastic. But that's not satisfactory. What really is required is tzarech l'sharish achreha. We have to see what's causing this inappropriate behavior and uproot it from part of the way that we live. The Rambam, in bringing down this halacha, of menayin lo'ik avodah zarah, tzarech l'sharish achreha, says there's a difference in halacha between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. He says that only in Eretz Yisrael is there a mitzvah to try to actively search out all of the avodah zarah in order to destroy them. In Chutz Laretz, he says we're only obligated to destroy avodah zarah, which is in our possession, under our jurisdiction. And he explains what is the basis for differentiating between Chutz Laretz and Eretz Yisrael. We look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Va'avadatam Hashemam mina makom ahu." What does makom ahu mean from Eretz Yisrael? So when our Gemara says that we have to go l'sharish achreha, it means mina makom ahu in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laretz. However, the Torah and Shulchan Aruch, when they bring down this halacha, they don't differentiate between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. The Gemara we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin, the Samach Gimel on the base, says that we're not allowed to use Avodah Zarah as a landmark. That means, for example, if we intend to meet somebody, we can't say, we'll meet next to that Avodah Zarah. The Rosh says that not only can we do that, but the Rosh says that we're not allowed to mention the name of Avodah Zarah even for no purpose. He says the reason the Gemara says that the Gemara says you're not allowed to use the Avodah Zarah for a landmark, if the halacha asks the Rosh, is that you have to, that you're not allowed to mention it at any rate. So why is the Gemara only speak about a landmark? It says because people normally did not mention the name of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, when might they mention the name of Avodah Zarah? When they're using it to identify a place. And therefore says, the halacha is that, but the Rosh says the halacha is, you can't mention the name of Avodah Zarah no matter what. When the Rambam quotes the halachas, the Rambam only quotes the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, where it says you're not allowed to mention the name of Avodah Zarah as a landmark. So it seems that the Rambam holds that only as a landmark may not be used, but to mention the name of Avodah Zarah is not the same. The Shulchan Aruch, however, does say that one may not mention the name of Avodah Zarah unless it's mentioned in a disparaging fashion. The Meiri says the fact that the Mishnah and Gemara do sometimes mention the name of Avodah Zarah, often we see the Gemara mentions Makolos and Pa'or. Isn't that a proof that there is no problem in just mentioning the name of Avodah Zarah? However, says when the Mishnah mentions Makolos, it's not really the real name of Avodah Zarah. The real name of the Avodah Zarah apparently was something else. And when the Gemara mentions the name Makolos, it's a disparaging revision of the name, because we're not supposed to mention the name of Avodah Zarah. Of course, another explanation is that when we're mentioning it in order to learn the halacha, which is what we're learning in our Masechta, so for it's the purpose of to know what to do, it has a whole different halacha.